I appreciate you being faithful to give, and we will pray that the Lord bless both the gift and the giver, and we appreciate this family taking time to come by and be with us this morning. Amen. Luke chapter number 15, and I want to draw your attention this morning to just three verses of Scripture, but really just one phrase out of each one of these verses this morning. If you'll notice with me, in verse number 24 here, as we come to Luke chapter number 15, I want to just note this one phrase, verse number 23. The Bible says in the last part of that verse, "And let us eat and be merry." Then in verse number 24, notice the Bible says in the last part of that verse, "And they began to be merry." Then verse number 30, as the elder son is talking to his father here, verse number 29, he says in the latter part of that verse, "That I might make merry with my friends." Heavenly Father, I do pray this morning that you would bless us. I pray that you'd give us liberty and vocabulary to say what you'd have us to say. Thank you for your people. Lord, thank you for the offering this morning, both the tithes and the offerings that was given for the work of God here, and then that was given this morning for the labor that'll be on the field there in Brazil. We pray, God, that you will bless many souls to be saved as a result of this offering this morning for the glory of God. I pray now that you'll speak to us, save the lost that are here this morning, reclaim the backslid, help us this morning, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to draw your attention to this one phrase that is found three times in these three verses of Scripture here. We notice that there's this word that the whole sermon this morning would center around, and it is the word merry. You notice in verse number 23, the Bible says, "And let us eat and be merry." Then in the next verse, the Bible says, "And they began to be merry." And then the Bible says in verse 29, "That I might make merry with my friends." And so there's a lot of emphasis in this chapter here, or this story, concerning the being merry about the son that has now come home. And when you think about that phrase in verse number 23, I'm reminded of what has been used oftentimes in English, where it would be asked the questions, the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why. And when you think about this phrase, we ask those same questions, the who. The Bible says, "And let us eat and be merry." Who is that? Well, I would say this morning, it is everyone that is under the sound of the voice of the Father, as he says, "Bring hither the fatted calf and let us eat and be merry." It would be the family. It would be the servants. It would be the wayward son that has now come home. It is everybody has been given an invitation. I want to say this morning, anybody that wants to be saved can be saved if they'll come to Christ. Amen? There is the who, and then there is the what. What are they going to do in this little phrase? Well, they're going to eat and they're going to be merry. That has to do with food, and it has to do with fellowship, and it has to do with rejoicing. Amen? I want to say, when you get saved and I get saved, we're brought into the family of God, and we're given the greatest food that can ever be given. We're feasting on manna that is from on high. That is the Word of God. Amen. And because of that, you know what the Word of God does? It'll make you happy. Amen. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And then there is the when. How long are they going to be merry? Notice in that phrase, he said, "And let us eat and be merry." Amen. Merry is not something they're just going to do on this occasion. But the Father says the Son has come home and the Son has made things right, and now I want us to fellowship, I want us to eat, and I want us to be merry. What does that mean? That means it's going to start right here, but thank God it's not going to end right here. They're going to be continually merry. You know, when God saves you, he puts joy down in your heart. Happiness comes from happenings, but joy comes from within. Amen? I mean, you may not have two nickels to rub together, but you can still have joy. Amen? You may not know where your next how your next problem is going to be solved, but you can still have joy. Amen. In fact, the Bible talks about joy unspeakable and full of glory this morning. I'm glad you can have joy as a Christian, and I thank God that joy doesn't end the day you get saved. Now, I'm telling you, salvation's more precious and it's more rich today in your life than it was the day you first found it and you first got born again. Amen. And so there is the when, and then there is the where. Where are they going to be happy? Where are they going to be merry, joyful? I'll tell you where they're going to be joyful. down at the Father's house. You see, there's no joy in the far country. You leave this church, you leave the will of God, you get out in the world and you waller out in sin. Oh, there's a difference in pleasure and joy. There's pleasure in sin just for a season. So you can sin and it may bring you a moment of pleasure. But when that moment is over, the pleasure's gone. You see, what salvation does is it puts something deep down in the recesses of your soul that you don't have to be doing anything. You don't have to have anything. You don't have to be given anything. Nothing has to be done for you. You just wake up in the morning and guess what? I don't have pleasure, but I have joy. Amen? I mean, when the alarm clock goes off and you get out of the bed, I'm not full of pleasure, but thank God I can be full of joy. Amen? I'm telling you, when troubles and trials come, it's not pleasing. I may not be pleased with the circumstances of life, but I'm telling you, regardless of the circumstances of life, I can still have joy. Amen? Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen? I'm talking about eternal life, abundant life, spiritual life. And what does that do? It brings joy down in your soul, hallelujah. I see people nowadays that they go to church and they know all the things that they're supposed to do and say and everything, but sometimes in some faces, you know what's missing? It's that joy. It's that joy. You can look right, do right, spit white, and not have joy. I'm telling you this morning, if that's all life was, if that's all Christianity was to me, was a set of rules and do's and don'ts, and you hear that sometimes. People say, well, I don't want to be a part of a church where there's a bunch of do's and don'ts. That's because there's a lack of relationship. Amen? I'm not doing the things I'm doing and not doing the things I'm not doing because of a rule. I'm doing it because of someone I love. Hallelujah. And it makes all the difference in the world. Every one of us could get drunk tonight. Every one of us could smoke dope tonight. But you know what? I don't want to get drunk. I don't want to go to a dance hall. I don't want to go to some rock concert. You know why? Because about 30-something years ago, God changed my hitching post and He put something on the inside. I'm not doing the things I'm doing because I have to, but there's a joy liver on the inside. I'm telling you, joy came down the day I got saved and it's been there ever since. Hallelujah. I know you can lose that joy, but I'm telling you, I don't want to lose it. I want to keep it all the days of my life. Amen. I'm telling you, God's been good to us, hasn't He? He's blessed us. Amen. I mean, your house could go up in smoke today. Your bank account could get stolen and could be down to zero. But you can still sit down like Job said and say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, in all of that, Job still had some joy left in him. Hallelujah. And then I see the why. Why are they so merry? They're merry because they're going to have a celebration. And I want to preach on that subject a few minutes this morning. I want to preach on let the celebration begin. Amen. Let the celebration begin. Because when this boy gets home, the father doesn't want to work. The father doesn't want to do anything else. The father wants to call time out and he wants to celebrate. You know what going to the house of God is? It's the same thing here, going to the Father's house. You know what going to the Father's house is? If you're right with the Father and if you know the Father, coming to the Father's house ought to be a time of celebration. Amen? And people say, why do you Christians dress up to go to church? Well, we just wear our best when we go to the Father's house. Amen? I mean, your best may be a shirt and tie. Your best may be a nice button-up shirt. Doesn't make no difference to me as long as you look appropriate going to the Father's house. Because if you know the Father, then you want to do your best for the Father. Now, if you don't know the Father, that's all right, you're a guest this morning. And I'll tell you, we that are saved this morning, we didn't come to get out, we come to get in. Can I get an amen right there? We didn't come, amen, just to go through the mechanics of worship. Oh no, friend, we came to meet with somebody on high. We came to worship. We came to get connected with another world. We came to celebrate a birth, celebrate a son, celebrate salvation, celebrate a word that has been given, celebrate the Spirit of God that's been put on the inside. Hey, we got much to rejoice over today. Amen. I say when we go to church, we ought to let the celebration begin.
We let it begin with singing. The Bible said, come before his presence with singing, Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye. I tell you what, we know how has a lot to do with how we worship. Amen. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. I'm telling you, I don't care who the president is. I don't care what's going on around the world. I don't care where the economy's at. We know who God is. We know the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. Thank God we're his people. Amen. I'm glad I don't belong to this world. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. And the Bible said to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. We come to celebrate this morning. Amen. And you don't worship, you may not act like me, and I may not act like you, but our worship, if it's biblical, it's all lined up together, isn't it? And I see three things about this word. It's mentioned three times. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse number 23, the instructions to be merry. He said, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us be merry. The instruction is simple this morning. The Father just wants everyone to do two things, eat and enjoy. When you come to church, you know what God wants you to do? Eat and enjoy. You know what we did in Sunday school? The table was spread. If you was here, if you listened, if you took it in, you ate. And if you ate it, I promise you enjoyed it. Because the Word of God is good. Amen. It's like honey out of the comb, the Bible says. The Word of God will feed your soul. You see, it'll satisfy. The world says eat and, or it says drink and be merry. But the Father says eat and be merry. Amen. You know why? Because drinking will never sustain you. But thank God food will say, it'll keep you going. It'll sustain you. I'm glad God didn't give us something just watered down. Amen. I'm glad he gave us something that'll sustain us. He gave us something that'll stick with us. He gave us something that'll carry us through the hard times of life. Just like Elijah going 40 days in that meal, thank God, God can hang one verse of scripture on your heart that can carry you through some of the driest deserts you'll ever go through in life. I'm talking about when it comes to being merry, we have been instructed. God has given us a command to worship, to enjoy the goodness of God. Amen. The Bible said in Psalm 63 and verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Psalm 29 and verse 2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalms 95 and verse 6, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God. Amen. The Bible said in Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. It's just a simple instruction. If you want to go to church and you want to get something out of church, you just got to put something in. I mean, give a good hearty amen. Open your mouth up and sing. If you know the author of those songs, sing unto the Lord. Raise your hand every now and then and bless the Lord. My hand raised. I'm talking about, listen, worship in the singing, worship in the preaching. Amen. Amen. Now, I know it's not the case here, but there's a lot of places where people get raptured out during the singing. And then you get up to preach and it's like a funeral parlor. I wouldn't give a plug nickel for somebody. They can get all excited during singing and then die during preaching. What's more important, the Word of God being preached or songs being sung? Now, we need both of them, don't we? And the Bible teaches us that singing sets the mood. Amen. It sets the atmosphere for what? The preaching of the Word of God. The Word of God is what draws sinners. The Bible said in Titus 1 and verse 2, but in due times, God hath manifested his word through preaching. Amen. Hey, Jesus came preaching the Word of God. John the Baptist came preaching the Word of God. Paul told Timothy in his last chapter of his life, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. With all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. And that's where we're at today. But shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall be turned away, shall turn their ears away from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But he said, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul was a preacher, and when Paul got ready to die, he said, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course, and I kept the faith. Thank God preaching will still get the job done. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul died, amen, expecting a crown. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. You know why I'm here today? Because a man of God preached to my soul. Amen. You know why you're here today? Because of old time leather lung preaching. Amen. I'm telling you, it'll set the world on fire. It'll keep your home together. Thank God it'll rescue your children. It'll keep a church sound and solid. It'll put the demons of hell on the run. I'm talking about good old fashioned preaching. It'll put something down in your soul. It'll make you merry. Hallelujah. I love preaching, don't you? I love preaching. I love to hear preaching. I love to do preaching. I love to be around preaching. Amen. Thank God. I love preachers, don't you? Thank God for preaching. It's a simple instruction. Let us eat and be merry. David said in Psalms 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. David said, let's all just get it on this thing. Amen. Let's don't be spectators. Let's be participators. If you're saved by grace, you can say amen. If you've been born again, you can raise your hand every now and then. If the world can do it for a ball game, we can do it for eternity. We can do it for a thrice holy God. I'm talking about we don't have to be dead. Thank God we can go to church. We got a living book. We got the living spirit living on the inside. We got eternal life. And we ought to start the celebration when we go to church. Hallelujah. And the instruction is sufficient because he's killing this fatted calf. Now, a fatted calf would feed about 200 people. And unlike the story about the shepherd and the sheep and the woman and the silver, whenever they found the sheep and the silver, you notice the Bible said they called their friends together and said, rejoice with me. But the Father has a greater celebration than a shepherd finding an animal and a woman finding a piece of silver. You say, what's the difference? Well, the difference is this isn't the sheep and this isn't the silver. This is a son. This is something that has eternal life in it. This is something, it's more than an object, it's more than an animal. It's life that's going to live forever. Just like the shepherd went after the sheep that had wandered, and the woman went after the silver that was lost and didn't even know it was lost because it had no conscience. But this boy made a conscious choice. He left on his own. And so therefore the father didn't go after him like the shepherd or the woman, but the father stayed. Why? Because that boy had something that animal and something that silver didn't have. That boy had a will. That boy had a will of his own. And that boy didn't wander away, and that boy didn't get lost without knowing it. Oh no, by his own will and his own choice, he chose to go the way that he did. So therefore, by his own will and his own choice, he would have to choose to come back home. And when the father saw that son, by his own will and his own choice, see, that's why we're not Calvinists, amen. God gives every man a will, and every man must make a choice. And when he saw that boy come back home, he said, hey, let's start the celebration. The son that was dead's alive again. The boy that was lost is found. There's a resurrection took place. Hallelujah. I'd say those are good reasons to worship, wouldn't you? We ought to worship because of a resurrection. Amen. We ought to worship because of life. We ought to worship, thank God, it's sufficient. Hallelujah. I'm glad that in Christ, all the sufficiency that we will ever need is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God I can't save myself, and you can't save yourself, but there's one that rescued every one of us, and he saved our soul. Hallelujah. This morning, that ought to cause a celebration. The instruction is sufficient. The instruction is salvation. Because as I mentioned, the world says drink and be merry. They drink because of sinfulness. They're eating here because of salvation. There's something about this morning. The way that we celebrate is far different than the world celebrates. That's why we don't want their music. We don't want their methods. We're not doing this the way the world does it. You know why? God's people never have. And by his grace, they never should. Where his presence is, it will be done holy and heavenly.
It will be done different from the world. We don't need their beat. We don't need their voice. We want to give them the gospel. We want them to get saved, don't we? But we're not becoming them because we used to be them. You know what God does when He saves a sinner? He sends somebody into a world full of death, darkness, and demons to present the gospel to them, to bring them out of that world that they're living in that's full of death, darkness, and demons. He brings them out. Why? That He might bring them in something a whole lot better. Wouldn't you agree with me this morning? You're in something a whole lot better now than you was before Jesus found you. He said, well, I never got out in the world. No, but you stooped in religion. Amen. I'm telling you, religion will send you to hell. But Christianity will put you on a solid rock. Amen. Religion will just push you down. But thank God, Christianity will take you up. Hallelujah. Now I'll tell you, when God saves us, you know what He does? He sends us right back into that world that He rescued us out of. Not to live like them, not to look like them, not to act like them, but so that we can bring somebody else out of what we've been brought out of, into the marvelous light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And that's reason to celebrate this morning. There's the instructions. And what I want to say is that the servants are not worshiping based solely on what they would feel, but they're worshiping on what they have been commanded, what has been given to them. You know, worship has to go beyond an emotional feeling. And don't get me wrong, sometimes, I mean, it's just the feelings overwhelm you, don't they? And there ain't a thing wrong with that. That's part, God gave us our emotions. But if the only time I worship God is when I feel something and I sit around and say, well, if I ever get that feeling, I'm going to worship. I didn't worship today because I'm just not feeling it right now. That's shallow worship. You got to worship God over what you know. You think Job sat down in them ashes and said what he said because he felt it? Oh no. When Job had nothing else to give but himself, he sat down in them ashes and he worshiped God based on what he knew. Now I'm going to tell you, if you'll worship God on what you know, I promise you, you'll be worshiping God on something you feel too. Because what you know is what produces a feeling. Brother Blue used to say it all the time, a feeling does not produce a fact. But a fact can produce a feeling. The fact that I'm not going to hell can put a feeling on the inside. The fact that I know that I'm saved this morning. The fact that I know that I've been born again. And these things have I written unto you, not that you may feel. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. And what you know will put a feeling down in you. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes I feel it and sometimes I don't. But there's not a day that I don't have to know it. Amen. You can get up and open this book and know. And I'll tell you what you know. It'll be an instruction to worship. Sometimes you just got to step out on nothing's what I'm trying to say. And just go ahead and magnify God. Because He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Don't ever let it be that you sit in church and say, well, I'm not going to say amen because I just don't feel like it. That would prove our worship this morning. There's the instruction in being married. Then there's the involvement. Look at verse number 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. Look at this. And they began to be merry. They're worshiping God. The opening of their celebration, they began to be merry. They're just starting the celebration. It's not going to end. I don't think when the calf had all been eaten and all the cleanup had been made, I don't think the celebration was over with. I think when they met at the table again and they sat back down and the father looked at that boy and he saw that empty spot that had been there so long is now filled. I don't think they could just say, pass the bread without somebody getting teary-eyed. I don't think when the servants looked down that table and saw the father's face and seen how many days that they saw the heaviness in his eyes and they saw the burden in his face, but now the father is happy. I think what made the father happy is what made the servants happy.
And I think when somebody looked down there and seen the Father happy, it might have been a day or two or three or four, but the Father's smiling. There's joy around the table that hadn't been there in a long time. I think the celebration was still carried on. I think sometimes the Father just walked up to the Son and put His arm around the Son. It might have been weeks, it might have been months, but He might have said, "Boy, I know I've told you a lot lately, but I just want to tell you one more time, I sure am glad you're back home. I sure love you." I'm sure the Son went to the Father some days sitting around, and when the bread would be passed, and He looked at that basket of bread, and He remembered the hog pen of sin, and He remembered how hungry He used to be, and He remembered how He just about lost His life. I'm sure He couldn't hold back the tears, and I'm sure those tears of joy dripped off the face, and the conversation around the table many times was, I once was lost, but thank God now, I'm just glad I'm found. Hallelujah. I'm saying this morning, is that not what we do? We come to church and we get involved over something that happened a long time ago. You know why? Because it's still real today. Hallelujah. Salvation is as real to you today if you're saved. Well, let me back up. I'd say it's probably more real today than it was. You know, I didn't know what all I was getting the day I got saved. I just didn't want to go to hell. But I'll tell you, all these years later, I found out Jesus, He's Savior, He's Lord, He's Master, and He's more than we could ever imagine Him to be. We could not give enough titles to our wonderful, wonderful Lord. He is God. He is everything, as Brother Green used to say, that I've needed Him to be, and so much more. He has never been just enough, but He has always been more than enough. He has never just got me by, but thank God He saw me all the way through. That's who He is. He is just wonderful. He is a counselor. For anything I've ever, advice I've ever needed, He is the counselor. He's the mighty God, not a mighty God. He is the and the only mighty God. All other gods are dead and have no strength, but our God is alive. He is a mighty God. He's wonderful. He is counselor. He is the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's a Father that'll never die. He's a Father that'll never abandon you. He's a Father that'll never walk out on you. He's a Father that will always supply every need you ever got. I'm talking about just an invitation, just to get involved. Their involvement is to be merry. And the opening statement is, we're just getting started. Hallelujah. People drive by and say, is y'all's church still one of them shouting churches? I've had people say, do the women still shout down there? Sure. Scares some of them, don't it? But they can go to a football game and it don't bother them. Y'all still have church past 12 o'clock? Sure. When do y'all get done? When we're done. Is that right this morning? We don't race in and drag out, or drag in and race out. Harry, it's both ways nowadays, isn't it? I'm telling you, friend, we got God wants us to be involved. You say, preacher, what do I do when I go to church? Just get involved. Amen. I mean, when the teacher teaches, back them up. Give them a head nod. Give them a smile. Say amen to the truth. I'm talking about their opening and their celebration, their opportunity. Think about this. He could not have let everybody been involved in this. He could have said, you know, servants, I want a private room. I want some time alone with my Son. I want a private meal. And the servants and everyone else could have only stood by and wondered what was taking place. But that's not what He did. He said, go kill the fatted calf. Everybody's getting in on this. Let us eat and be merry. See, worship brings everybody together. Everybody's going to get to celebrate. You know, that's what worship does this morning. It brings us together. Brethren, we have met to worship and to adore the Lord our God. We came to lift Him up. We came to, you see, this celebration is not as much about the Son as it is about the Father. Don't make the mistake of thinking, well, it's all about this boy. Oh, no. It's all about the Father. Because when the boy came home, had it not been for the Father's forgiveness, the Father's mercy, the Father's love, the Father's kindness, the Father's salvation,
Everything belongs to the Father. The Father's ring, the Father's robe, the Father's shoes, the Father's calf, the Father's servant, the Father's farm. Even in that boy's veins, you know what's running? The Father's blood. Everything in this story is not about, it's not about the boy. The celebration's about the Father. You say, well, how can servants get involved? I'll tell you how. Because if it involves the Father, it's going to involve the servants. Amen? And the servants could be happy. Because if it made the Father happy, then it makes the servants happy. I'm telling you, whatever makes God happy ought to be what makes us happy. Amen? I'm telling you, if the singing honors Him, then it ought to make us happy. I'm telling you, if the preaching honors Him, it ought to make us happy. If the testifying honors Him, it ought to make us happy. Amen? You say, why should I be involved? Because the Father wants you to be involved this morning. And I see the instruction. I see the involvement, the opportunity. What an opportunity. Jesus said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. For God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship spirit and truth. There's the obedience. If you was to bump into one of these servants and say, why are you so excited? Why are you so thrilled? Well, the Father said celebrate. And when the Father says something, you do what the Father says. And the Father says be happy, we're going to be happy. I like that song, everybody will be happy over there. But everybody needs to be happy over here. But so many times in churches, there's a lot of long, sad faces. Sin will cause it. There's a lot of things that causes people to be unhappy. Some people, from the time they get to church, they wonder, when's it going to be over with? And I have to ask myself, even after all these years of pastoring, I wonder, why do they even come to church? I'm glad they come. But why come to church and be miserable when you can be merry? Why come to church and you got all in your heart against somebody? Oh, that's my next point, so let me move on. It's a good one, I promise, maybe. But finally, if we find the word is mentioned one more time, there is the instructions, there is the involvement, but then there's the irritation about those being married. Look what he said in verse number 29. And he's mad, he's angry, he's not going in, the older son is. He has an answer in verse 29 to his father. Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. You know, I just saw something right there. Might make a good sermon. That boy was more interested in being merry with his friends than he was with the father. I just saw that. He said that I might make merry with my friends. Now there's something wrong when people would rather be out there with that crowd as to be in here with the Father. But some people, that's all they think about is, why, I can't wait till I get old enough to get out of here. I can't wait till I can find a reason. I'm looking for an exit. And sometimes it's not always young people. Sometimes it is others. But this boy, he's irritated about all the music and all the dancing and all the happiness that's going on. He doesn't care if his father's happy. He doesn't care what's going on about all that. All this music and all this worship and all this celebration, it's just irritating him. Man, there's a whole lot of preaching right there. Because there's people that come to church and they're like this boy. I think about David. His wife was like that, wasn't she? When the ark of God was brought in and David danced, and it wasn't some worldly wicked dance. You remember God invented that before the devil's crowd got a hold of it. And it was all about worship. It wasn't about wickedness. But I'll tell you, when David danced before the Lord, she scorned his dancing. She scorned his worship. She tried to belittle it. She tried to make fun of it. She said, boy, you thought you were something today, didn't you? Out there, David. You're the king of Israel. In other words, in plain Georgia language, David, you acted like a fool. That's what she thought of worship. You know, some people think worship is foolish. And this boy's just irritated. Why would he be so irritated? Sinfulness. You see, he's all about work, but this is not a day of work. This is a day of worship. He knows a lot about work, but he doesn't know anything about worship. Selfishness. He was mad because the party wasn't about him and his friends. He felt like the focus needed to be on him rather than his own brother. I'm reminded of Philippians 2 and verse 4. The Bible said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, life is, not only is it not supposed to be about me, but life is supposed to be about my brother. Think about what Cain said. Am I my brother's keeper? The answer is yes, you are. And so a lot of times when we come to church, if we're not careful, we can be so focused on ourselves that we miss him. And we miss our brother. Selfishness. He thought it should be about him. How many good songs have been ruined because somebody made it about them? How many good sermons have been ruined because the preacher made it about himself? How many good testimonies? Now, I'm not saying we don't use experiences in life. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not against that. What I'm saying is me getting up and talking about me rather than talking about him. And maybe you don't even catch that. I'm saying this. Maybe me getting up and preaching a sermon and the motive being that you would think good of me, when the motive should always be that we only think good of him. If I sing a song, preach a sermon, or give a testimony, pass out a track or do anything, so that you will think something of me, it's ashes at the judgment seat. That's why I have problems when people get saved, and I'll probably get in trouble not here but other places for this. That's why I have problems when people get saved and they just got born again and somebody wants to jerk them up and take a picture and post it out there. Because I have a tendency to believe that's more about that person than it is the person that got saved. Amen. I'm telling you, the world don't have to know everything going on in our life. And when I say things and do things, it should never be so that Dave Terry thinks well of Brother Gravely. I'm using myself this morning because I don't live with you. But I'm telling you this morning, the flesh will take the crown off Jesus' head if we allow it. That's how wicked this old stuff that we're wrapped up in today is. You know why preaching on the cross does something? Because it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. You know why them songs about Calvary draw sinners? Because it's all about him. I'm saying this morning that it was selfishness. It was stubbornness. The elder brother could have been happy. He could have made a choice to be happy, but he wanted no part of this celebration. Many refused to get on worship for the same reason. Why would this brother not celebrate with his brother? He wouldn't even acknowledge him as his brother. You know what he said? I ain't worshiping with him. If you think I'm going to go in and sit down at a table and celebrate, and you think I'm going to be happy, and if you think I'm going to get in, he didn't even care what the father thought, but he didn't care about his brother. Here's what he thought. He said, after he's done all these things, you kill the fatted calf, and you've not even gave me a kid. Now that tells us a lot about him. Because he didn't think that the brother was worthy to be celebrated. And I'm going to tell you something. Now listen to me this morning. I know it's Sunday morning, and I know I preached past 12 o'clock. But I want to tell you what's in my heart this morning. I've seen that down through the years. I've seen it in church members. I've seen it in preachers. Don't ever look across the aisle to see what somebody... If you have to look across the aisle, if I have to look across the aisle to get anybody else's approval before I can worship with somebody else, and my worship's really messed up. And brother, I have seen that down through the years. And I'm sad to say that I've seen it in preachers. Preachers are probably worse than members. Because if preachers are not careful, things can become very political very fast. And you get somebody up to preach, and this preacher don't like this preacher, they'll sit there. You got another guy sitting over here. He don't even have a dog in a race with these two. But for whatever reason, they've fallen out, and that person is his friend. Guess what? He's got to sit there if he plays the political game. He can't worship with this guy no matter how good of a job he's preaching because his buddy ain't in on it. You know that happens in church too with members. People become close friends. I mean, you say, Brother Grabb, have you heard something? No, I'm just preaching, but I really feel like I'm on to something right now. So-and-so get up to sing, I'm not getting blessed on them. So-and-so get up to testify, oh, I get my head down. I'm not talking about people living out in sin. I'm talking about you got a friend that's fallen out with them for whatever reason, and pastor's blowing it out this morning, not because I've heard something, but because it's just, I believe it, I probably am on it this morning. Never have revival if you got one thing in your soul, get somebody in church. And you can't do that. You can't pick and choose. And I cannot pick and choose when I'm going to worship. Because what I did, I just made it about him or them. I tell you what'll do people good sometimes. Because you know I'm not going to put somebody up here living neck deep in sin. Can I get an amen right there? I'm not doing that. And if that does happen, rest assured, something's going to get worked out. There's something in the process. Can I get an amen right there? Some things take a little time. I'm not talking about gross sin. But what I am talking about is this, is that you cannot let the personalities of other people play into your worship, good or bad. You can't get all fuzzy because you like somebody. You can't get all warm and fuzzy, man, I really like them. Well, that ain't got nothing to do with worship. You might need to warm the car up this morning. And then you can't get all stubbed up. Well, I'll tell you, Brother Gravely knew what I knew. Mm-mm. He wouldn't be. I might know what you know. But you got to remember something. I don't get to call all the shots around here. When the Holy Ghost says, I want this person to do something, you know what I'm going to do? What the Holy Ghost says. Had a man come in one time, run me down all over the country, and the Holy Ghost said, let him preach this morning. In my heart, Brother Lighty, I was like, I don't want to even hear nothing that guy, but the God said, you preach him. You say, how'd he do? He preached a good message. He preached the truth. People got help. Because it ain't about me. I'm not telling you this morning, I've seen it so many times. There's been time, you know, as a pastor, you cannot do what I'm talking about. In other words, as a pastor, if you know somebody was talking about you or saying something, you can't say, well, I'm not singing them. I don't want to hear what they got to say. Oh, no. You got to learn to worship with people that are flawed because guess what? As a pastor, you have a flawed pastor this morning. And that does not mean this morning that anything goes. I think you know that, right? But what it does mean is that worship cannot be built around each other. I think it has done me good down through the years to have to worship with people that I knew was saying things about me or about my children or about my wife. And I think it's done me good to have to go ahead and worship with them sincerely. Worship with them because it is taught. I haven't learned much and I've not arrived, don't think that, but I have learned one thing, if I haven't learned anything, is that when somebody gets up to sing or preach or testify, you have to get past that individual if you ever worship God, or your worship will always be dictated by the actions of others. Now this morning, I wish we were ending up here, but I'm sorry. But I tell you this morning, I know this is a good church. I love everybody here this morning. I think you know that. I bore my heart to you this morning because that's what preaching is. I didn't want to just get... I'm never going to be able to just get up here and preach a little sermon and go to the house. I just can't do it. And I'm telling you this morning, I feel like in my soul, I felt it this morning in prayer. Hey, probably some people, I don't even want you to ever come tell me anything. There's some people probably this morning, you probably need to get on this altar and tell God you're sorry for having things in your heart against another brother because you didn't feel they were worthy or you didn't feel they were right. Maybe they weren't, but neither are you. Because neither was he. I feel like this morning, and I don't know, but I just feel in my soul that's what God wants. And as we stand this morning, you work.